from Psalter 217, stanzas 1 through 4. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1 through 4 of Psalter 217.
From Psalm 77, but first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 77. To the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou ledest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thy servant we have just heard out of thy holy word did cry unto thee with his voice. Even unto God with my voice, and thou didst hear his cry. And Lord, then we also in these moments, in the first place, do cry unto thee with our voice on behalf of these two young friends. Lord, they have come in the midst here of our congregation, with a confession of their iniquity, a confession of their sin. And Lord, we have heard it out of thy word in these moments. Who is now so great a God as our God? And thy servant did say, who pardoneth iniquity, and who passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, who retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. O Lord, we beseech thee then we are ready to forgive. But Lord, thou art ready to forgive them who do come unto thee with in truth and in uprightness, with a life, with a heart that is broken and contrite because of our iniquity. O Lord, wilt thou hear their cry? Wilt thou wash? Wilt thou forgive? And take away all of their guilt and all of their sin. O reveal unto them that blessed way that thou hast made in thy dear and only begotten Son. And Lord, pass not any of us by. Oh, give us a place of true repentance before thee in our secret chambers for all the iniquity and all the sin that is living in our hearts and what comes forth before thy countenance, thy holy countenance from moment unto moment. Then there is no one that is able to pass by the sight that thou dost see. O Lord, come then unto all of us together. O show to us what our wretchedness and our sin is in our father, in our covenant head Adam, and what our corruption is and what our guilt is from him, and what we have contributed thereto ever since the moment we have come forth into this world. O Lord, give us true sorrow, therefore, that it may not only be guilt, but that it also may be a true mourning, and that our hearts might learn to love thee, and with all our heart to turn back again, and to say, I will arise, and I will go unto my Father, and I will say unto him, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. O Lord, wilt thou give us the smallest part in thy heavenly kingdom? Oh, that we could have the place just of the doorkeeper. Oh, just to come in to be on the very edge. Oh, Lord, that thou wouldst still include us who deserve to be cast out forever and forever. And then especially thy own people, because thou knowest the grace that thou hast granted unto them. But thou knowest also the sin that has come against received grace, which makes it as high as the heavens. O Lord, deal not with thy people as they so justly deserve, but wilt thou give them again to see what thou hast laid away. But because of thy dear Son, O make him precious, Lord, to each and every one of us together, also unto the children and to the young people. O Lord, give us to be afraid to sin. We sang it together. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. And we have to say, remember not, O God, the sins of this very day. But all that which is from long ago, that is also coming back in the life of thy people. And it will come back in the life of every one of us on thy great judgment day. Oh, give our children and young people eyes to see, and give them ears to hear and hearts to understand. For they have not to answer for what they have not committed. Oh, that thou may keep them on every side then. Oh, give them to be careful, Lord. Give them to love thee. Pour out thy love in their hearts, that they may be drawn, and all of us together, both for the first time and by renewal. Look upon us as a congregation. Help all the afflicted ones, widows, widowers. Remember orphans all in the midst of this world. But there are those also that do receive treatments for the body, those that suffer weaknesses of the mind or of the body. And there are those that suffer from addictions. There are those that have troubles in the midst of their families. O Lord, thou knowest all that we have brought upon ourselves. And it is all because of our own fault, our own iniquity. But thou art merciful, even in those outward ways. And thou dost draw men to seek thy footstool, who art able to give healing also in the midst of this world. Oh, give us a place then at thy footstool, and for all of our needs and cares, remember all that bring thy word. Increase their number in the midst of this world, in the midst of our churches, and also on the mission field. Thy servant also, who hopes to return from the mission field, Lord, wilt thou grant him a place of thy own choosing, and that thou may supply for him and his family, and the mission field also, where that they are, or that thou may give men of thy choosing, and that may be truly converted and called and sent forth by thee, and that thy kingdom may come in the midst of this world, and that they may come from the north and from the south and from the east and from the west, from every nation in the midst of this world, to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. Lord, wilt thou care for all the committees, all the classes, all the consistories, the vacant congregations, and the many labors that are done in the midst of our denomination. Wilt thou bring us to thy footstool, and give us to depend upon thee for all things, and guide our ways. Remember all those that rule and reign over us, and do supply for them also wisdom and courage and strength. Bring thy word into their hearts, and wilt thou bring us back from the ways of sin in the midst of this world. Remember the beloved for the Father's sake. When the weapons of men have rained down upon them, O Lord, that thou may give a protection from above. Oh, give not to depend upon man and our own devices. And oh, give them eyes to see that they have rejected thee. Oh, Lord, give them also. Bring them to that place at thy footstool. Thou didst it unto a Saul of Tarsus, as he did persecute thee. And thou didst speak from heaven. And thou didst change everything in such a short time. O Lord, thou art able to open the eyes. Look on them in thy mercy, and leave not us behind. Remember us in this hour. Supply for our needs to bring thy word, but also to hear it. Take away all sleepiness and drowsiness, and take away all the world that is living in our hearts, and that we may receive that attention that thy spirit does give. When he gives that work to begin and to be continued in the life of his own people. Help us, Lord, be near and dear unto us in thy mercy. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our iniquities. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 17. Stanzas 1-5. O Lord Most High, with all my heart, and thy wondrous works I will proclaim. I will be glad and give thee thanks and sing the praises of thy name and sing the praises of thy name. All the stanzas of Psalter 17. words of our text congregation for this afternoon, hour, can be found in the Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. The Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter, and thereof the first verse. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. So far the words of our text. Comfort for troubled hearts. First, the troubled hearts. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, the troubled hearts. Second, the comfort for those troubled hearts, believe also in me. Comfort for troubled hearts, first the troubled hearts, and second the comfort. Thus, congregation, the troubled hearts, who are they? To whom is the Lord Jesus here speaking? Say, is that important? Who he is speaking to? Yes, that is, congregation, very, very important. Why? Because the Lord Jesus speaks words of comfort. And those comforting words are not for everyone. Everyone in the world wants to hear comforting words. And then especially they would like to hear comforting words from God. But, and they are often ready to take them also, comforting words from God, when those comforting words are not meant for them. And if we take something, boys and girls, young people, that is not meant for us, that is meant for someone else, what do we call that? You say we call that stealing. That is right. And so we can do also from the Word of God, then it is possible also for us to steal. Those comforts have an address. Those comforts are given to certain people, and they are spoken to certain people. The Pharisees said, we have one Father, even God. But the Lord Jesus answered them, that they were of their father, the devil. Thus, they had made a very, very serious mistake. It was a mistake about the comforts that God speaks in his holy word and to whom and that they were spoken, and they took them to themselves, but they were not for them. And then we have to give them back, the Lord Jesus says, on the last day, when we will stand before him and cry, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And when he will say, I never knew you, and you have taken unto yourself what did not belong to you. God's people are very, very sensitive about this. That is, that they are asking, does this actually belong to me? Or does that belong unto someone else alone? Are you also sensitive to that? Because if you are, then you will desire to know just to whom that these comforting words are spoken. Let not your heart be troubled. Thus he is speaking to troubled hearts. Do you have a troubled heart? There are many troubles that are in the midst of this world. Is it not a wonder that the Lord Jesus has such compassion for all the troubles that are in the midst of this world that we have brought upon ourselves? That reveals who he is. What does he say? He says that he is a God that is full of compassion. More compassion then lives in our hearts for one another. Oh, do we have a little of that compassion in our hearts that belongs unto him? The Lord Jesus says, I did not come to judge the world. That is, he says, I came to save the world. To save the world, not to judge the world. And now the Lord Jesus, he is going also to come into the court. He has come in the court, we heard about that. And he is going to come into the court with his people. In the court, you say there is no compassion. That is right. Because in a court, there is just justice, right? That is not a father who is sitting there on that judge, on that seat, that judgment seat. That is the judge. You say that judge, he has no heart. He has just the law. And that law that is very, very hard. And if a man has sinned, then he must be punished. And if he is innocent, then he may be let go. And then you say that is so very, very simple. And now the Lord Jesus is going to bring his compassion, full of compassion. He is going to bring that even into the court of God, where there will be justice. No, he will not take that away. That justice he will maintain. But also along with that justice, he is going to bring in all the compassion that is living in his heart. The compassion of the Lord Jesus that is extending even beyond his church. That is, in an outward way, he did touch the ear, boys and girls, of who? That was of his enemy. Of his enemy, Peter tried to protect him from the enemy, and the Lord Jesus healed his enemy. Say, that is compassion. Oh, do we have the smallest part of that great compassion that is living in the heart of him? And still, the comforts that are spoken of here that the Lord Jesus is speaking, they are comforts that are special. They do not belong unto all kinds of trouble. No, here we read that they belong unto those who have trouble in their hearts. Do you have trouble in your heart? Heart trouble. So then, that greatly narrows the audience of the Lord Jesus Christ to whom that he is speaking, because now they are troubles, they are heart troubles. Oh, how many heart troubles are in this world? How many heart sorrows are in this world? And yet, congregation, so many of them are still natural. Because we have a son and we have a daughter and they do not go in that right way. We have husbands and wives and there is difficulties between them and there are sorrows after sorrows, heart sorrows, broken hearts in the midst of this world. And yet, here even the Lord Jesus is not speaking about all of these heart sorrows, because those heart sorrows are belonging in the midst of the world, not only to his church, but they are belonging also unto all the men of this world. The world is full of them, but the Lord speaks here about other heart troubles. What kind of heart troubles are they? They are, congregation, soul troubles. Do you have soul troubles? The Lord Jesus speaks here to his own disciples. Their hearts are troubled, and he knows that their hearts are troubled. He sees into their heart. And he does not desire that the heart of his own people would be troubled. And why are they troubled? Well, things do not go so good for them. things do not go right for them. That is, in a natural way, yes, in a natural way, but it is actually for their soul. Do things not go right for you in your soul? Do things not go the way that you have thought, the way that you have hoped, the way that you had expected them to go in your soul? Because all that is taking place here for these disciples has everything to do with their souls. The Old Testament was not enough for them. No, they need the fulfillment of that Old Testament. They need that Messiah now to come. They need all those prophecies to be fulfilled. Then it needs also to be done for them. And now the Lord Jesus speaks about something that is so very, very different. The Lord Jesus speaks about going away from them. He says that you are not able to follow me now. And so their hearts are cast into a great turmoil because all their expectations are taken away. Oh, is your heart also cast into such a turmoil when all the things that you thought and expected in this world, when all those things are now being broken down, and when you are no longer able to hope and to expect like you had hoped and expected before, ye believe in God? Do you believe in God? You say, maybe I do. But maybe there is someone that has come up this afternoon with such a soul trouble that has to ask themselves that question. Do I? Do I actually believe in God? Did that question ever come in your heart? Do you ever say, is it actually even true? Because the troubles, those heart troubles of that church are going down into the very foundations, that the very grounds of everything have to be searched out by that people with everything that they had received. Would that now be already a great comfort to you if the Lord would say to you, you believe in God? Would you like to hear that from him? That he says, I know that from heaven. That I know your place. And I know what lives in your hearts. And I know that you believe in God. The disciples are entering now into a great temptation. And what they have to go through now is going to go down to the very foundations, that those foundations are going to be shaken for those disciples. And now the Lord Jesus gives to them a little comfort, a little strength, as they are going into this. There was, I understand, a teacher of the theological school in the Netherlands years ago who was laying on his sickbed. He was very ill, and his students came to visit him. And then he asked them, said, what is the smallest mark of grace? Would you want to know that? What is the smallest mark of grace? Do you say, oh Lord, do I even believe in thee? Ye believe in God. let not your heart be troubled. What does it mean to believe in God? You say, does not everyone actually believe in God? The Lord Jesus does not say that you believe that there is a God. He does not say that. No, it is true that everyone in this whole world believes that there is a God. You say there are people who do not believe that. That is not true. And they say they do not believe that, but that cannot be. Because their conscience remains, and that conscience is a testimony that there is a God. Thus, everyone in the whole world is experiencing guilt. And guilt comes from one place, and that is that a man believes that there is a God. But the Lord Jesus does not say, ye believe that there is a God. Nor does the Lord Jesus say, ye believe God. That is, ye believe what God says. That ye believe the word of God. That is another object of faith. And it is also necessary for us that we believe God, that we believe his word, that we believe his testimony, that we believe his commands, that we believe his threats. Because it is all going to come to pass and is coming to pass. But the Lord Jesus does not say that here. Ye believe God. No. He says, ye believe in God. What is that word, in? That word is eis in the original language. That word is sometimes very often translated to or into. Thus, that word is indicating a direction. That word is indicating movement. It is going toward something. Thus, it is very significant here that the Lord Jesus says, ye believe in God. He says that faith that is going toward God, that your heart goes toward God, then there is movement in you, in your heart, in your soul, that goes in the direction of God. Your soul goes out to him. Love in your heart goes out to him. It is greatly different to believe that there is a God, because to believe that there is a God does not affect our life. It does not affect our heart. We do not receive the prophet. But it is very different when the Lord says, ye believe in God, because then there is desire, then there is affection, then there is something that is working in a person's soul. Then it is not only in his mind. Then it is not only for his miracles. No, it is a true saving faith, even in the very outset, even in the very beginning, that it is going out, it is moving unto, toward him. There are many that believe in a God. But he does not say, ye believe in a God. No, he says, ye believe in God. Because many believe that there is a God, and they believe in a God. Their heart goes out after a God, and they are full of superstition. They are full of many false fears concerning this God. But it is not the true God. So how do I know what is the true God? That is how he reveals himself in his word. Who he is. We have just seen something of the compassion, the person, the personableness, the character of that true God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, and they must worship him in the true knowledge of who that he is. Here he speaks about believing in the true God, that is congregation, the very first step of grace. That is beginning at the outset already. That is the first step in faith, the first object to believe in God that happens in regeneration. By what means? By the preaching, especially. Because how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Thus, there are many that do not know anything of that true God. Oh, do we remember them also? And what do we do with our privilege and our knowledge of who that true God is? Did now the preaching, did now the reading, did it ever draw your heart after that true God? Do you ever feel a movement? A movement that you do not only believe God, that you do not only believe that there is a God, but that you also believe in God? If we believe in God, then we will feel something. Then that we will feel something as we go about our labors every day. Then we cannot enjoy everything that is in this world, that is vanity in this world. Oh, then we will feel something that is drawing our heart away from this world, and that is moving our heart to seek that true God. Oh, here's the very source of the trouble of the heart of that people who believe in God. What is that heart trouble? Oh, they are troubled because they are separated from God. Is that the trouble of your heart? We all have many troubles. We have many troubles, and we can have so many hard troubles. But let us answer that question here before the Lord, between the Lord and our own soul in these moments. Is that now our hard trouble? We say, I miss God. Apart from thee, I long and thirst, and naught can satisfy. I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry. Is that true? Is that true for you? That naught can satisfy. I have tried this. Solomon did that too. He made him gardens. He built him houses and palaces, or everything. And naught could satisfy. Oh, is that now the trouble of your heart? Oh, that heart trouble, that is about also the cause. Why am I separated from him? Do you ever mourn with that same David? I am evil, born in sin. Thou desirest truth within. Oh, a heart trouble. And another heart trouble. Oh, that impossibility that I would come back unto him because I cannot remove the cause. Is that your heart trouble? That you cannot remove the cause of that separation between God and your soul? You want to see that further in our second thought. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Thus the Lord Jesus makes here a distinction. He makes a distinction between believing in God and believing in me. Believing in God and believing in the Savior, the Mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. These congregations are two distinct things. To believe in God or to believe in me. You say Christ is God. That is true. But God is not only Christ, but he is also the Father, and he is also the Holy Spirit. And when a person begins to believe in God, that does not mean that he yet believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bunyan showed that. His pilgrim began to believe in God when he was in the city of destruction. And then the minister said, do you see Christ? Do you see that way open? Do you see that wicked gate? He said, no. Thus, that believing in him, no, that was not there yet. Thus, there are steps. The Lord Jesus speaks about steps in grace. There are so many people, young people, let us stop here for just a moment. There are so many people that will deny that there are steps in grace. They will make everything the same. Everything is put into one. And those that will speak about steps in grace are so often despised. But it is in that holy word of God. And if we are going to deny it, we will deny the word. We will deny what the Lord Jesus says, that there is a difference between believing in God and believing in me. And when we believe it not, then we have a testimony that we do not experience these things. Because those distinctions, they are taught in the heart. They are not something that we can learn from a man. No, they are things that we learn by the Spirit of the Lord. If a man knowing nothing about your business, then he would look on the outside and he would make these generalizations and you say, man, you have no idea because you are not here in this building. You are not here on this farm. You do not feel it. You do not experience that every day. No, this is not that. And now the Lord Jesus also says the same. And now when a man believes in God and he has not yet come to believe in Christ, then congregation, his heart is indeed troubled. Why? Because outside of Christ, God is a consuming fire. Do you ever feel that? That is what the people of Israel felt. They experienced that. When they came to Mount Sinai, it is not that there was no indication of a mediator there, but that law was in the foreground. And then they were standing before God. And then that mountain was smoking. Just like the smoke, it says, of a furnace. And that smoke was rising up unto heaven. And Israel was fleeing. They were fleeing from God. Did God know these people? Oh, God knows those people. They are his people. And he knows the trouble that is in their heart. He says to them, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. Oh, this heart trouble is actually the beginning already of believing in Him. It is really the first step already. Oh, that believing. Believing what? Oh, believing the need for Him. Let us sing 115, 1, 2, and 4. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for Thee. I thirst for Thee. For Thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come Thy gracious face to see? 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 115. believe in God, believe also in me. Congregation, we did not leave Christ in paradise. No, in paradise, in the first covenant, there was no mediator. The Bible does not speak about that. But that mediator that has come in that new covenant. Thus, in paradise, we did not leave Christ, a mediator, a savior, but there we left God, who now is Christ. He is the anointed one. He is anointed to the offices that God has given to him, and they are for a purpose, that he might bring his church back to him, that he might bring his church back unto God. Resurrection of Christ, that is now the first step of his exaltation, that he may ascend, and that he may return unto God, and that he may bring with him his own church, that he may bring them in reconciliation to him, and that he may bring them into his very presence. And that is now the first fruits we read of the resurrection from the dead. That is the reason that the Lord Jesus says to his troubled disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Do you also believe, congregation, in him? That is so necessary. Maybe you say, "How do I know that?" Well, that is a good question. That is a very important question. Because how many do profess to know him, to believe in Christ, and yet it is not saving faith. And therefore the apostle says, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith." He says, "Prove your own selves." Do not make a mistake concerning this thing. What is now, what does it mean to believe in him, to believe in Christ? What is now the first thing that the Spirit of the Lord is working in, not God in general, but in Christ, in that mediator? That is, congregation, that I believe that I need, that I, not that I have, that is the way, young people, that it can be presented so much in our days, that we have him. No, those things, they go by steps, and those steps go in order. The first faith in Christ is a faith in him as necessary for me. Thus we may ask the question, do you need him? What do you need him for? Who is he? Well, the Bible says he is the Savior. Savior? And from what does he save? He saves from sin. Or do you need to be saved from sin? Or do you even desire to be saved from sin? What is sin? Do you ever think about what sin is? Does sin ever grieve you? Do you desire that you may be delivered from it? And in what sense? Do you want with the whole world, every created man in this world, to be delivered from the guilt of sin? Does that set you apart from anyone in this world in your desires, that you may have guilt taken off of your conscience? Or is there a different also, not without, but also including desiring to be forgiven our sins, also to desire to be delivered from sin itself? That I may be delivered from the pollution of sin, that I may be delivered from the corruption of sin, that I may be delivered from committing sin, from walking in sin. Is that now the desire of your heart? Oh, do you say, Lord, oh, could I walk according to all thy commandments? That is what the psalmist did ask the Lord. Make me to go in the way of thy commandments. He says, I do not go in that way, but I have a desire that I may walk according to all that holy law of God. David says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Oh, is that your sin? You say, I cleave to everything that is perishing. I cleave to vanity. I cleave to emptiness. Oh, Lord, deliver me. Deliver my soul from living, from going on in such a way in this world. Because, oh, if I could only have substance, that I could only have thee again. Oh, do we desire to be delivered from... And, if that is so, where's the testimony? Is that seen also? Because if that is truly our desire, then our desires, they influence our motives, and our motives influence our will, our choices, what we choose to do and what we choose not to do in front of other people, but also in secret, because we desire to walk a life of truth in all the commandments of the Lord. So if that is our desire, oh, then we have attempted to walk according to all of those desires. Then it is not a question whether or not we sin. No, it is a question whether or not our sin grieves us. Is that a burden to us as we go over this world? Then we have one more question. With all those attempts, did you ever come to an end with all of your ability to deliver yourself from your iniquity? Oh, have you ever been cut off from self-help? Because if we are never brought to the end of that covenant that is broken, we will never see the preciousness of that covenant that will endure forevermore. Or when men have entered into that strife, then our fathers, they have sometimes said to them, I hope that you will quickly work yourself to death. That is necessary. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. The same word, in me. That is the word eis. That is same as when he says, ye believe in God. We say then, that is to, into, toward, there is movement toward him. And it is the same now when he says, believe in me. We can believe that Christ is the Savior of the world, that God sent into this world. And there is no movement. There is no movement of our heart toward him. There is nothing in us that is going out after him. But our heart is cold to him. Our heart is dead to him. We see no form in him. We see no comeliness in him. Even though we say yes. Even though we make a loud profession of him, maybe. Maybe even for ulterior motives, that we may be seen as one that fears God, is a converted person, or in front of our friends, in front of our family, whatsoever, and still, in the bottom of our heart, there is no movement in the direction of that blessed mediator. No longing and no desire. When does that begin? When does that begin? That begins when the Spirit of the Lord does reveal that Savior with power into the troubled hearts of his own people. You know what he says to them then? He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. That is heard by everyone in the whole congregation. They all hear it. The congregation. They all do not have the same trouble. And because they all do not have the same trouble, then it is not actually addressed to all of them, is it? But now there is a people. There is a people whose heart is troubled. There is a people who do believe in God. And they hear their name. And they are addressed by God, not by me. But this is the word of God. This is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they are now addressed by the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart trouble, oh, then there begins to be a movement. A movement. And why a movement? Because they see that he is exactly suitable for their own case. A savior from sin. From the guilt of sin, from the pollution of sin, from the corruption of sin, from the punishment of sin, but especially, from the commission of sin, a savior from sin. Then they see something that is so very fitting, exactly suitable, to their own case, that they say it is fitting for me. He is the one that I need. He has paid the price for sin. The Father, he has declared himself in his resurrection to be satisfied, completely satisfied, delivered him from the punishment because of his payment. And he says that this is now to be given unto men without money and without price. And that makes it all so very suitable, so very fitting for my own soul, because I have not one penny that I can pay my great debt that is reaching unto heaven, and I am not able to bring myself back. The Lord is not pleased with my most holy duties, but all my righteousnesses, they are as filthy rags. Oh, He is my only hope. He is my only expectation. Oh, if I have not Him, I perish. But if I have Him, then I have everything. Do you feel the movement? Do you feel the movement of that soul? That troubled soul unto Christ? Then he begins to believe, congregation. Then he begins to believe in that moment. He begins to believe in Him. Not only in God, but in His only begotten Son. And what precisely does he actually believe? He believes that he will do as he says he will do to such persons as I am. That is what he believes. Because it lies yet in the promise. He doesn't have it yet. It lies yet in the promise. And he believes that for such a troubled heart, that he will actually perform it in the day of Jesus Christ. Or if he did not believe that, that Christ would do as he promises to do, then his troubled heart would not begin to go out after him if he truly did not believe it. But he does believe it. And the fact that his heart does begin to move, and that love begins to move, and he begins to long and to pant after him, that is the proof that he does believe it. Oh Christ, he has now become precious to his troubled heart, just like a beloved physician becomes precious to a dying sick man when he hears of him. Oh, then there is a movement. There is a movement. Everything else is put to the side. And then there is a movement toward him. The bride says he is altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. Oh, that bride, she says he is white and he is ruddy. Oh, there is none that she has seen so beautiful as him. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Or if you ever have believed in God, and you ever have believed in Christ, you will know it. You will know it. Sometimes we are asked that, young people, how would you know it? You will know it. You know when your heart moves. You know when your bowels yearn after someone that is living in your heart. Thus you will know that movement, and you will also know, you know what else they know? They know something else. They know when there is no movement. They know when all that movement is gone, because it can be so still in the heart of the people, that they say to themselves, I'm dead. I'm dead. Believe in God? Yes, you describe that. And if I am honest, then I can come along. Believe in me also? Yes. Yes, I have to say that. I have to say that what you describe that is known by my soul, between God and my soul. Oh, how I remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. How I remember his wondrous works. I call to mind my song in the night. How that I have rejoiced in these things. But it is gone. It is gone. It is all gone. It belongs to years ago already. And it was so good. And it was so precious. But I'm helpless. I'm helpless to get it back again. There can be nothing else but self-deceit, because my heart is hard and my heart is so very, very cold and so very, very dead. And all my reading and all my praying and all my sighing does not bring it back. Is that, congregation, the trouble of your heart? Is that now the trouble of your heart, that you cannot bring that back? And that you cannot bring your soul back unto him, like you desire to do, like you wish you could do? Is that your heart's trouble? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. God's way is in the sea, his path that is in the mighty waters, his footsteps are not known. But do you know what he says to that people? He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest all the hearts. Thou knowest the hearts that are troubled, and we can give ourselves nothing, and we can give one another nothing. But thou dost speak to thy people, oh, that thou mayst speak also unto them, and that thou may comfort them in all their soul sorrows. And wilt thou give thy word a place that we are not able to give it? Forgive and take away our many sins. Give us those desires that we do not have by nature, and cause us in this day to seek thee with the time that thou dost give unto us, especially upon thy holy day, that there may be desire to read and to seek and to search for thee, who are compassionate to those who do sin against thee. Help us in all the labors of this week, the children in their education, at school, at home, the young people in university and colleges. And wilt thou keep from sin and evil, from all danger and harm. Bless the labors of our hands, the mothers and the fathers, each one of us and also in thy kingdom. Forgive and take away all of our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 2:12, all the stanzas. I thought upon the days of old, the years departed long. I held communion with my heart, by night recalled my song. And what follows one, all the stanzas of Psalter 212.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.